The Ticket.
Michigan Insider Podcast is brought to you in part by defense attorney and WTKA legal insider Joe Simon. Find Joe at themichigandefenders.com.
And we are back, folks, here on the Michigan Insider Sports Talk 1050 WTKA online at WTKA.com. Sam Webb, Ira Weintraub on the other side. Big Ten champion Wolverines. Big Ten champs. Big Ten regular season champion Wolverines. Keep saying it. An outstanding, outstanding season that is far from over. Right? There's more to do. There's more to do here in the regular season. You know, the question of, and this is what we'll put, a couple of questions we'll put to the people this morning. All right? Now that they are relevant and some people can get out of their we got comments yesterday. One via YouTube, one via Twitter. Can you just not talk until after the game? I will say this once more. No, I won't. I'll continue to say it just period, because I'm sure this will never go away. There are some folks that are of the mind that you never talk. You never boast. You never offer what could be construed as bulletin board material because that can affect the outcome of the game. So I don't buy that, certainly from people who have nothing to do with the game. I don't buy that from us talking about it on the radio or people on message boards or that kind of thing. We have no bearing, no say on the game. If that were true, if what we did had bearing on the game, then this guy who on YouTube says, hey, every time you run your mouth, Sam, they lose. Yeah, Ira, I'm pretty sure I've been talking about, since I could talk, pretty sure I've been talking this way. Especially when it comes to Michigan State. Pretty sure. Michigan's won a lot. Won a whole lot. So that's, if you wanted an example, some proof that there's no correlation, then that's case in point right there. But even last night, this dude, Pete Brandon, says something on Jimmy, can you just shut your pie hole until they win the game? This is reminiscent of during football season. Well, I did not shut my pie hole, and they won the game last night. Again, example number two, that there's no correlation. But I just think it's for people who wait until the outcome to say anything, to each his or her own. Fine. That is, some people are only comfortable doing it that way. But certainly don't talk to the people who, find enjoyment, find it part of the excitement to talk before and after. As a matter of fact, I happen to think it's kind of soft to wait until the outcome to say anything. You didn't have enough confidence, enough faith. This is, if you want to go back and forth, you didn't have enough confidence and faith to say something before the game. Now, again, for people who just are opposed to the banter, that's fine. But don't just have the banter after the game. That's a front runner. That's soft to me. Like, if you're going to talk, then talk before, too. Put something behind. The only thing a person who has nothing to do with the game can put on the line is your call. Is what you think is going to happen. It's all you can put up. Because you don't shoot. You don't check. You don't make a call. Right? You don't scheme. No bearing on the game whatsoever. So the only thing you can put up is what you say. And if you wait for the outcome to happen to say something, well, what did you really put up? You didn't put up anything. That's the epitome of that's a front runner all the way. So if you shut your pie hole before, then shut your pie hole after. Pete Brandon.
So, Sam, because the point that I've tried to make so many times, there are people that can say things and have some sort of an impact on a game, right? They're not going to be you or me. Things that you and I say are not going to have any impact on the game. You know, maybe, I guess, we've joked about how Steve Everett said something on our show a bunch of years ago, and it made it onto a sign, like a placard, inside the facilities at Michigan State football. But the fact is, Michigan did use a video of a quote from Draymond Green about how he never wants Michigan to win a game. I think that was the quote. He never wants to see Michigan win another game or something like that. And Juwan showed that clip to the fellas. I don't think you really need anything extra to really fire you up for a Michigan State game. But, I mean, what the heck? Former players will get it, will do that, right? People that have put their blood, sweat, and tears on the floor or on the gridiron or on the ice or whatever sport we're actually talking about, those guys can provide words that can be fuel. There's truth to that. I understand that.
Man.
But you're not getting – there is no fuel in the game coming from the words of Sam Webb or the words of my words or any of the words of talking heads on the radio station. Again, maybe a former player says something that might have a little, but not from us. So why not – Sam, yeah. I'm gonna ask you a very simple question. Is being a sports fan or watching sports, isn't that supposed to be fun?
Supposed to be. I get that.
So everyone has their own version of fun,
things.
Right? That's why everyone has their own version of fun.
Everyone has their own version of fun. And like I said, look, if you don't want to talk, that's fine. That's fine. But don't get on the people that have fun doing it as if it somehow impacts the game. And that's when we can get into a little debate. Otherwise, you enjoy the game the way you enjoy the game. And then I or we will enjoy the game the way we enjoy it. And that's, yeah, you know, talking a little bit about Tom Izzo's fading coach of the year prospects. He has one more chance. One more chance. Because, you know, all the great coaching that we saw Tom Izzo do, all those great moves he made to come within single digits of Iowa, right? That was an accomplishment for that team. Think about the building blocks, the foundation. I thought that was the foundation of the run, right? That this team that scored 37 points versus Rutgers, he built it up to the point where they got within single digits of the Iowa Hawkeyes. You know how huge that was because they rode that. Michigan State rode that to some improbable victories. I mean, they beat Illinois. They beat Ohio State. These are, he didn't think that could happen. And what he did was he identified what they could do. Like, don't ask me to do, coach, something I can't do. We can't do what Cassius used to do. We can't do what Xavier Tillman used to do. We can't do that, coach. Now, can we go out there and beat the hell out of people? Now, we could do that. And that mindset. He was able to channel it and get some wins out of it. I don't know what happened last night. Not that I want to see them beat the hell out of Michigan's guys. But, you know, they had some flagrant moves here and there. The elbow to the jaw, the hook and hold. I mean, there's a few dirty dealings there. But I'm talking about specifically as it relates to their plan against Hunter Dickinson. I was surprised that they thought they had anyone on that squad, any of their big guys that could match up with Hunter one-on-one. I'm just, what tape have they been watching? I'm just shocked to see it. And so I anticipate, as you said earlier in the show, you know, you could play the same team twice, sort of like you heard Mel Pearson talking about in hockey. You know, you play a team one night, it can be a totally different game the next time around. I got to believe they are going to try to play Hunter different. I believe that. I mean, they know that matchup won't hold up. The game starts out with Mike Smith aggressive offensively, getting back, finding his mark, finding his range again, and then it's Hunter going to work. You know, one-on-one in the post, you know, nice in the two-man game. Some drop-offs underneath the basket for some finishes, right? Just, you better have a couple guys on them. And so I think that they are going to get to the hack Hunter. Because that's what they can do. You know, consistent offense from them. I mean, it would have been for them to have a good offensive night. That's the anomaly. You know, they win games by, as Underwood said, mucking it up. They tried to muck it up a little bit last night, but Michigan was dialed in. They were focused. They met the intensity or set the tone as far as intensity was concerned from the beginning of the game. and maintained it throughout. So therein lies part of the question to you guys this morning, to you guys and gals, brothers and sisters. Big Ten is already wrapped up, right? This gets back to conversation we had with Mike Spath yesterday around this time. Big Ten's already wrapped up. How do you look at Sunday's game? Mike says he'd be resting guys in this game.
No.
Do you take that tactic?
No.
Do you say I want to bury their hopes.
That's it, Sam. You want to be the hammer to the final nail.
To me.
That's it.
To me, man, there's a lot on the line here. You get a chance to send Michigan State home. But if you want to know, this is the game. This is the battle for Big Ten Coach of the Year.
I got a million excuses.
I mean, it's down to Juwan Howard versus Tom Izzo.
Yeah, Sam, I got to
tell you. This game is for all the marbles.
I'm glad you brought this up. I'm glad you brought this up because Ryan sent in an email this morning and the end of it, of course, he's, thank you, Michigan basketball, John Beilein, Juwan Howard, thank you to Ward Manuel, et cetera, and some great stuff. But he brings up at the beginning of his email a really important point. He said, Izzo once again proved his coach of the year chops last night. MSU outscored Michigan by 9 points the last 4 minutes last night. They played a full 40 minutes, and that is priority number one. Truly an amazing effort by the Spartans last night. And he's right. They played 40 minutes. He's on it, man.
He's on to something. Because Tom Izzo, he already started coaching for the next game. So how they closed out this blowout loss was important because he's telling his guys, look, guys, we outscore them in these last few minutes. It can carry over into the next game. We get them at home. We get another crack at them. So, again, for those of you, and I guess I shouldn't stack the deck, we want to hear, your uninfluenced opinions, right, on what would you do? Would you say, hey, we're gonna give our guys some rest? I mean, it's the tail end of five games in 9 days. You can make the case, as Mike did, that you give some guys a breather as they get ready for the Big Ten tournament. Now, mind you, they got a one seed locked up. They get some rest early in the Big Ten tournament anyway. But again, like I said, Mike made a compelling argument for some rest and recovery at the tail end of five games in 9 days. Do you agree with that? That you should be thinking about, preservation of the guys, restoration of the guys through getting them some rest with the Big Ten already wrapped up? Or do you say, hammer, meat, nail, pound them into the ground, beat them
yes,
down.
Yes, period. End of story.
Is that what you say?
The end.
Especially when you consider that, hey, if Tom Izzo is able to score the upset, now he has to do more than, it's not enough for them to come within single digits in this game. That would make it interesting for maybe some of the people who see this as a very, very tight race when you consider that Tom Izzo's had all these weird guys and weird lineups this year that he's had to coach and that he's been, the circumstances that everyone's dealing with, they have just affected Michigan State way more than
so
any
sick
other
of coaching
team
the way I got to coach and this, practice the way
league.
I got to practice.
I know, Tom. It's so tough. It's just so tough.
That's what sucks about basketball.
To think that you lost players and no one else did. No one else had, veteran players to replace. I mean, some of the best players to ever play in their programs, no one else in the Big Ten had to replace guys like that. No one. Only Michigan State had to do that. So, it's we know that it's not a vintage team for you. And yet here you are with a winning record. Michigan State has a winning. For Michigan State to have a winning record is Coach of the Year stuff. Coach of the Year stuff. Because look at what he's dealing with. Look at what he has to, to get this team to where he's gotten them to. Coach of the Year stuff. But it's not etched in stone because Juwan Howard has done an amazing job too. As I said before, so this is the other part of the question. Come up with some names for me. Who can you name? And not just at Michigan, we will broaden it out to sports in general. Because I think it puts a – it shines a light on the accomplishment that here in year two, Juwan Howard has coached this team to a Big Ten championship. When you consider that for most of our formative years, I mean, Big Ten championships and into teenage, college years, adulthood, they weren't winning Big Ten championships. And then John Beilein finally gets them off the schneid, so to speak, in the 2010s. But to inherit a program that had a winning culture established. Zeke just said, well, what did he inherit? First of all, Zeke, why are you triggered by something that was a compliment? I'm actually about to tweet this. Like I said earlier in the show, that, you know, Juwan inherited, he inherited a healthy program. He inherited, you know, some guys that had, who had won. He got those guys. He got complete buy-in from those guys. And then complimented them with players that were crucial to the success and, you know, instilled and installed his own culture to the point where he was able to carry on that success in ways that most people who follow legends in sports have been unable to do. I mean, think about it. You're replacing the best to ever do it in your job at that post, or one of the best in other instances. You come up with the names where that's been a successful thing, where someone was able to carry that on. What Juwan Howard has done in that regard is truly special. So give me, who are those people? Because I'm struggling. You know, you come by, I remember when Michael Jordan retired and Scottie Pippen tried to take the mantle, was Scottie able to do it?
It's really hard to replace legends, right? There are examples of like a short-term thing. Like Bill Guthridge won a national championship when Dean retired at North Carolina, but Gut retired shortly thereafter, and it was not – it's a different comparison, right? That's a long-time assistant taking over for a short-term window, as opposed to a guy essentially while he is a Michigan guy, Juwan coming in from the outside from the NBA and coming in and – so I'm trying to come up with an example. You know, if you want to use players, Montana DeYoung might be an example. Favre to Rodgers is probably an example. Like, you know, obviously Juwan needs the longevity for some of those. But I don't think that you could do a player-to-player transition comparison. I think you have to find a coach-to-coach comparison. Because you will go through history of basketball, football, et cetera, and coaches. And there are going to be some examples that are exceptions. But it is really, really, really hard to follow the legend. Nobody seems to want to be the guy that follows the legend at a school. Nobody wanted to be the guy after John Wooden. Nobody wanted to be the guy after Bobby Knight. Like, it's really hard to be the guy after the guy. And Juwan said, you know what? I'll be the guy after the guy. And he's doing a great job.
Yes, sir. So, I mean, folks, if you have some names, because I'm struggling to be Aaron Rodgers.
That's what I'm saying. Player to player, I think there are a few examples, but coach to coach transition.
Coaches?
Very
coaches,
few far between.
Managers? Who do you have, folks? 734-998-1050. Who can you come up with? Because I think it really shines a bright light on the uniqueness or how special it is what we see this coaching staff doing. Your reflections on this run to a Big Ten championship. Your thoughts on last night's game. And look ahead to Sunday's game. Look, call your shot. Call your shot. If you're going to talk after on Sunday, call it now. What do you think is going to happen in the rematch coming up on Sunday? 734-998-1050. Tweet us at Michigan Insider. Email us at studio@wtka.com. Back on the other side here on Sports Talk 1050, WTKA, The Ticket.